This week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, we look at representative payees, what they are and what they do. Hi, this is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University. And welcome to this week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. So many people need assistance with their finances during their lifetimes. And there's a lot of options to help those folks, either friends or family, or in certain cases, a power of attorney is used to grant someone else control over some aspect, some decision-making of that person's life. But when it comes to a person who we'll call a beneficiary receiving benefits from Social Security, there's a different program, a very specific program set up for those individuals who need this assistance managing their money. A traditional power of attorney does not or is not recognized by Social Security. So if someone has taken over control of a person's finances, sometimes that's done willingly or via court order or what have you, but the POA grants permission or grants authority for the holder of the POA to make decisions and engage in financial transactions on behalf of the affected person, or in this case, the Social Security beneficiary. Social Security won't just accept this POA. They have their own program called the Representative Payee Program. In this program, the Social Security Administration will appoint a representative payee who then doesn't have control over any other financial aspects of a person's life, but can control, can direct where funds are spent and how funds are received from the Social Security Administration under any number of programs they might have, whether it be retirement benefits or disability benefits or supplemental income benefits, SSI, if you will. And they have kind of their own rules on how this works. So the representative payee, there's an application process. This can be done a few different ways. It kind of depends on the circumstances, but there's an application that's filed with the Social Security Administration, and the Social Security Administration does a background check to make sure that this person doesn't have anything suspicious in their history that would prevent them from being a faithful and adequate representative payee. And then the Social Security Administration will appoint this person. The RP, or representative payee, is required to keep track of these funds that Social Security is kind of entrusting them to use on behalf of the beneficiary. The representative payee must file a report every year with Social Security Administration describing how these funds were spent, and they're required to be spent in a certain way. First of all, the benefits must be first used to cover basic needs, which is essentially food and shelter. And assuming there's more benefits left over after that, the next thing that must be covered are medical and dental expenses above and beyond what's covered by insurance. Of course, most of these folks that are receiving benefits, not all, but most will be part of the Medicare or Medicaid system. So there should be some sort of insurance coverage there, but there's always expenses above and beyond that. That'd be the second thing. And then after that, personal needs such as clothing and even recreation of the beneficiary can be covered. If there's anything quote unquote left over, if you will, it can't just be blown or the RP can't take it. It must be saved on behalf of the beneficiary, and this must be done preferably in a interest-bearing bank account, or U.S. savings bonds or similar would suffice. Can't be often invested in the stock market or something like that. That is not proper use of those funds. The few other rules: the representative payee may not charge a fee to the beneficiary for providing these services. This usually doesn't come up much because the representative payee is normally a friend or a relative of the affected beneficiary. But there are no fees allowed to be paid by the beneficiary to the RP. The exception to that, if there's not a friend or relative, sometimes a professional representative payee oftentimes a lawyer or similar person or even an organization like a nursing home can be appointed as the representative payee. Those folks, with permission of the Social Security Administration, can charge a certain level of fees to the beneficiary. But if it's just an individual, someone's child maybe, or a sibling, or just a friend of theirs, those folks cannot charge a fee. The funds must be kept separate. That helps track these things, helps account for all these benefits and what they were used for. But specifically, the deposits of these benefits cannot go into an account owned by the representative payee. They must go into an account that's owned by the beneficiary. But here's where things get tricky. The beneficiary can't have direct access of the account. So the way these are set up is the account is set up at the bank with the beneficiary as the owner, but the representative payee as the financial agent, the person that that can sign and make transactions on the account. But there's a difference between ownership of the money and control of the money. And so the RP has control, has been granted control, but cannot be the owner. So those accounts must be, or those benefit payments must be directed into an account owned by the beneficiary, with the exception of children who are beneficiaries. Children's oftentimes are, if their parent is receiving benefits of some kind, children are often young children, typically 17 or 18 or below, depending on exactly what kind of benefits we're talking about. They are entitled to certain benefits. Those monies, those benefits can be deposited or sent into a family account that's technically owned by the parents. So that part's fine. They can be mingled in there. Accounting still must be done to account yearly for what those child's benefits were used for. Again, they have to be used for the benefit of the child. But any excess, any savings for the child must be moved out of that joint account, out of that group family account, if you will, into a separate account owned by the child. So if you have the excess, which, you know, the children are kind of expensive, so usually the benefits aren't going to cover everything that the child needs and then have some left over. But if that is the case, if you're saving them for the beneficiary, the child in this case, they should be accumulated and saved in an account owned by the child separate from the joint family account. The last thing I'll mention that representative payees are responsible for is to notify the Social Security Administration if the beneficiary's situation changes in some way that would result in the beneficiary's Social Security benefits being affected. And there's a big list of these, which you can actually find on the Social Security publication mentioned in the written part of this blog article. It's Social Security Publication 05-10076. But a few of them, a sample of the things they're talking about would be if the beneficiary starts or stops working, if other government benefits paid to the beneficiary stop or start or increase, if those change. If the beneficiary is imprisoned, that changes things. Social Security benefits change when, if the government's already taken care of you in jail, for instance, usually don't get Social Security benefits on top of that. If the beneficiary gets married or moves out of the country for more than 30 days, those are events that could affect their benefits. And the representative payee must notify Social Security if these happen. So I wanted to write this because we're seeing these representative payee situations come up more and more as people are living longer, but with issues, with maybe some dementia or other mental health issues. So they start receiving these Social Security benefits, and maybe a lawyer has been involved in arranging for a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney so that people can help manage these folks' lives who are still living but maybe are not in a mental condition to handle everything properly. That POA, that financial POA, does not apply will not work for Social Security benefits. So that's why you must pursue this representative payee situation. And hopefully this article has helped you understand how it works and what you have to do to become assigned as a representative payee. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with another episode of HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefits.
Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salner, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.